Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. And on this Friday, we bring again our Friday focus. This Sunday is Father's Day. I have gotten to think about the importance of being a father. God has blessed my wife and I with 4 sons and 1 daughter. They are all grown up and married, and all but 1 son is a parent. So we have lots of fathers to think about in our family. I also take delight in the young men in our church, some of whom I have seen get married and become fathers. To become a father is sobering, and so often is the beginning of true maturity. It is a fearful responsibility to bring children into this world and be their very life for food, clothing, safety, training, and preparation to a productive life in this world. Plus, there is the will of God that we raise our children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Some fathers and mothers push their children very hard to be successful in this world, and by proxy through them, they live the childhood they may never have. It can also be fueled by pride rather than by godly desires. There is need for a right balance between giving your children a good childhood, good opportunities, and equipping them to succeed in this world. As a father, I see the need to be like the Apostle John, who said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And you'll find that in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. This is the true burden of the Christian father. Whether they be doctors, nurses, mechanics, or farmers, rich or poor, live a long life or short, this is the absolute testimony we wish for each of our children. To see that materialize, we need to teach them well in childhood. Our children need to know the Bible well, love its truth, and obey its commands as second nature to them. They must make the Bible their code of life and practice. When we run out of answers, we must ask, "What does the Bible say?" Then, to see them walk in the truth, they must put it into practice, apply it to their own marriages, and in raising their children for the Lord. This walk will, of course, lead them to a life of fellowship with the Lord Jesus, who is the truth himself. There can be no salvation with the Lord Jesus, who said, "I am the truth." And there can be no Christian living without earnest striving to live in the truth. Solomon said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That is my advice as a father in 2020. In the news this week, abortion figures have been released that truly sickens our hearts. In the United Kingdom, more babies have been aborted in 2019 than in any other year since this murder of infants have been legalized. In 2019, according to one report, there were 207,384 abortions performed on women living in England and Wales in 2019. That's about five times the number who died to date by the COVID-19 virus, which has brought the nation to a virtual standstill. And in New Zealand, the government has voted to make it legal to leave live babies to die that survive an attempted abortion. The murder of unborn and live-born babies is horrifying on any scale of reasoning. Why all this dreadful loss of life? Why do so many mothers and parents want to end the fruit of their womb? They lack the fear of God. In another report, the number of Irish babies aborted in England went down dramatically since the new laws in Ireland permit abortions. Still, the number of babies aborted with Down syndrome has increased. This is likely due to the fact that in England, babies with Down syndrome may be aborted up until full term. Surely the blood of these infants cry out for justice and for God's judgment that will be to take human life, whether they are in the world or in the womb. May God send his Holy Spirit to revive the hearts of sinners in our nations. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray that in wrath God will remember mercy, or it will be judgment upon our nations. Oh, how far England has gone away from the knowledge of the Lord, and how far away from being the missionary sending nation of the world to the nest of every unclean bird and false superstition. I fear that the glory of the Lord is departing from that land of martyrs and missionaries. What about Canada? Alas, here too, the butchery of abortion goes on and on. It is time for revival here too, or Canada will be a land of the curse rather than a land for Christ and his cause. Stay tuned now as we go to our hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and that was our Friday focus. From our prayer room in our church, we come today to Isaiah chapter 45, and I hope that you are a prayer warrior, that you are a Christian who gives your time, your energy, and in believing prayer, calling on the Lord in these times. I pray that we be genuine praying people. Without that, we have very little genuineness. Without prayer, we can accomplish nothing. And we know that it is not our strength, but it is the Lord's power. And so I trust that you'll join with us in the prayer room of our church as we seek the Lord for his help and his blessing upon our nations, upon our ministry, our church, and radio broadcast. Thank you for listening today. Well, welcome. Great to see you here this evening. And we're turning to Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to come back to what I'm going to call an anchor text, verse 11. And we'll read the remainder of the chapter and then come back to some of the main highlights of this passage. So Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 11. And you can understand that this is very helpful for our prayer time, as there is the command here to ask of the Lord. You have the very command in here, ask of me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come,
and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Well, in a first reading of this passage for you, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've already been reading this and reading ahead and trying to think about this. But immediately, the thing that jumps to mind as you read through these verses is that we have so much about the gospel, salvation, the Savior, and the word saved comes up 1, 2, 3 times. Savior also comes up 3 times in this passage. And then also the word salvation in verse 17. And so no wonder that Isaiah is called the most evangelical of all the Old Testament prophets. There is more pure gospel references in these writings of Isaiah than any other Old Testament prophet. And of course, he is referring to Jehovah as the Savior. And this Jehovah is our Lord Jesus, because it's the same gospel, it's the same person, it is Jesus, God in the flesh, that is referred to in this passage. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And so prayer is always offered in Jesus' name. And we need to fill every one of our petitions with the name of the Lord Jesus. We're asking in his power and in his authority. You'll also notice at the very end of the passage, verse 23, that one day every knee shall bow unto him. And there you have really what you have in the New Testament, amplified in the New Testament, the fact that every knee will one day bow to the Lord Jesus. Well, tonight we've come to bow our knees and to worship, to pray unto, and to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in this passage, there are 2 anchor texts. And you might wonder what I mean by an anchor text. Well, it's a text that you can use and highlight, and everything else just builds around it. It's like the pillars of a structure, and they seem to hold everything up. And that's verse 11, which we have considered already to some degree, and also verse 17, which says, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." Now, these 2 texts, then, we want to just go into them a little bit. Verse 11 is a vital text because it commands us to ask. And you'll notice it says at the end, "Command ye me concerning the work of my sons and concerning the work of my hands." And the great lesson is that what God has revealed as his will, his decrees, his purposes, that's our cue for prayer. That's our starting point for our coming to the Lord in prayer. Now, last week we read a section out of the book of Daniel, how Daniel was reading books, it mentions, and that the exile would be 70 years. And then on that basis, he began to pray and call upon the Lord, because the promise was based on prayer. Now, I think I have found the verses that Daniel would have read. And if you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. Now, verse 11 will be very familiar to you. And verse 10 talks about the 70 years, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, he goes right into the situation the people of God would find themselves in exile, horrible, horrible captivity. But he says, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a desired end," or an expected end. then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. Now you can imagine Daniel reading those words. Daniel discovered that the exile would be 70 years. It was getting close to that time. But he also realized that the promise of the ending of the exile was premised on prayer. And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And so that's what Daniel did. He set himself to pray, and to pray earnestly that the Lord would bring that captivity to an end. And that was the basis of his praying. Now, we have that same principle tonight. What God has revealed, what God has promised that he's going to do in his purposes, he calls us to pray for them. And this comes up over and over in the Bible. Why do we have not? Because we ask not. Why are we told to ask, seek, knock, and it shall be opened unto you? The blessings of God are premised on prayer. And if we are prayerless, promises will not be fulfilled unto us. They may be carried to another. We may miss the very blessing of God if we don't cry to the Lord in prayer. Now, if you go to Psalm 145, the Psalm 105 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now, how do you know tonight that your prayers are based on truth? Because if you don't know that, you might be praying wrongly. You might be praying just your own desires. You might be praying carnally or in ignorance. This is Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And so before we begin to pray, we need the mind of the Lord. We need the truth on the matter. And our praying can be premised on what God has said, what God has revealed. And the Holy Spirit's ministry, Romans 8:26, that he will teach us how to pray with groans and utterances according to the will of God. So it's the Holy Spirit's work in us to stir our hearts to pray, and the Word of God, the truth, must guide us. And so we learn that we need to pray biblical prayers, prayers that are based upon what God has already said. Now, sometimes we don't know the mind of God. If you look at verse 15 in Isaiah 45, and this was somewhat a difficult little statement here in Isaiah 45, 15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. Now, obviously, we don't see God, and God is a spirit. But this reference is not really to God hiding and keeping himself away from us, but rather that his will, his purposes, are not always known to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the things that God hath revealed belong unto us, but the things that are not revealed belong unto the Lord our God. So there are purposes that God has not revealed to us. We do not know the day and hour of Jesus' return. We would be fools tonight to pray, Lord, remember, it's 2020 and next year's 2021 and you're coming back next year. That would be wrong. We don't know the day of our own death. That is not revealed to us. Now, we are told that the day of our death is appointed by God. That's already set. The date of our departure from this world is known by God, but he has not revealed that to us. What we are promised is today. We are promised this day, and we are to pray on this basis. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are to pray for the opportunities that we have now. And as we go forward in the will of God, we trust him for the future, whether it's life or death or whatever that may be. And our business is to pray on the things that God has absolutely clearly revealed. What's that? Preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is something we can pray about tonight. And that is our commission as a church. We must not lose sight of that. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that is something we should pray about. Lord, help us to be more holy. The Lord commanded us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that holy means more separate unto God, more dedicated unto God, consecrated to Him. To be free from the carnal thinking and the flesh, those things we're to die to. And so all of those things are revealed. Another thing is we're to pray for laborers in the harvest. The Lord said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers. These are things we can pray, and we can pray boldly, and we can pray with all our hearts and with all our minds. And the thing is, God accomplishes His purpose through our praying. Pentecost didn't come without the 10-day prayer meeting. And the advance of the Church of Christ has always been through prayer. That's why we're here tonight. And I want you to pray tonight with a boldness, a fresh zeal, and a determination as you may never have prayed before. Let's waken up to real praying tonight on the basis of what we know God has said in His Word. And we'll never have to apologize for those prayers. We'll never have to take them back. If God has said it, we can pray it.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.